Good afternoon. I hope today has been going well for you. As some of you are aware, we were in West Lauren this morning, ministering and fellowshipping and worshiping there. I asked Corey how the kids were doing, and they're absolutely delighted that they're all home, but in a fashion, they're not so delighted that they're all home because they weren't at the church. All the kids were sick, and so they're meeting some challenges in that home, and so such is life with little ones, right? But I, knowing it was Mother's Day, I brought a Mother's Day sermon, and I didn't know it was Communion Sunday there, or I think I would have rethought that and had something a little bit more conducive for that. But I checked with Pastor Tyler, and he wasn't specifically dealing with Mother's Day, so I thought, well, I can share this with you. And so, even though it's near the tail end of the day, I'm going to share some things that would hopefully be an encouragement regarding today being Mother's Day. God's Word gives some clear instruction concerning the importance and the relationship that we are to have with parents. And that was revealed to Moses on the mountain, and it became incorporated, or it was part of what we now know to be the Ten Commandments. And the instruction there, excuse me, is honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So to demonstrate honor is not only a reaction to our appreciation for what our parents have done, but it is a command of the Lord to express our deep appreciation for what they have done and our allegiance to them. Having said that, let me lead us in prayer. Lord God, we do thank you for such privilege of knowing that your command deals with such a variety of different avenues of our life. And as we would look at this relationship and how we are to honor our mothers, Lord God, we pray that we might be encouraged with the instruction that you have given to us, and it might be profitable for us as we would reflect and so have a renewed appreciation for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Even though this was we initially find this in Exodus 20, it is also repeated in Deuteronomy 6, excuse me, Deuteronomy 6, where Deuteronomy is a second giving of the law. And as the children of Israel were about to cross over the Jordan into the promised land, the commands from Deuteronomy was just a reminder of as to how they were to live as children of God. And so in Deuteronomy, there is much of what is previously in the other parts of the Pentateuch, but in Deuteronomy 6, there is a list of the Ten Commandments. This command, honor your father and mother, is also repeated six times in the New Testament. And with this being Mother's Day, I don't want us to neglect, but even emphasize how we are to honor them as instructed, indeed even commanded to do so. When we honor somebody, we have evaluated with accuracy and honestly how they function, how they serve with respect, kindness, appreciation for their life and for their character. The scripture tells us in Romans 13, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. So as we honor mothers, our mothers, let us see how ought we to honor them? How ought we to appreciate them and respect them? And I've got 3 points I wanted to draw your attention to this evening in light of giving honor to whom honor is due, pointing at mothers. And so let us honor our mother for their sensitive spirit. Most mothers do have a sensitive spirit, as seen in Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mothers see things, notice things, make special record of things that are easily missed and even forgotten by others. When Jesus was born, the shepherds came, these dirty, smelly shepherds who live out in the fields with their livestock, to come and see that which the angels had revealed to them. And the scripture records in Luke 2, take special note of Mary's reaction. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with that. And even as I had suggested, Mary, your minds would have went to that very verse. And there's no doubt that Joseph was not absent or unaware of the things that were happening. But it would seem that this was specific to Mary, that really logged in with her what was taking place. And in times when there's significant events happening, we easily can miss some things. When we were in West Lauren, I was talking with a fellow, and he said that he was a paramedic and that he often worked in this area. And I said, "Do you know a paramedic by the name of Ray?" He says, "Yeah, there's two. And he identified two. And then he described them. And he said, "I don't remember what he looked like. He picked me up along the side of the road, and we had a conversation, and he attends the Junction Church. But aside from that, I can't remember anything else about him because that wasn't where my attention was. But Ray was one of the gentlemen that picked me up after my accident out by Indian Hill Golf Course. And that's all I remember, is that he attends the Junction Church, and this fellow I met in West Lauren, he was describing, he's shorter. He's shorter than the other Ray, and he's got a bald head. And I said, that's not where my mind was going. And so, so be it. That there are times when we are focused on things and we're not paying a lot of attention to other things that are happening. Mary logged in on this and treasured them in her heart. And yet this is not the only place in Scripture that records that Mary treasured it in her heart. 12 years later, they made the trip to Jerusalem, as according to the instruction of the law. And they were there for the festivities and the worship. And as they left, they gathered together, the caravan all gathered together. I have had it told to me this way, that the younger children would have went with the mothers and would have left early, and the older children would have left with the dads and took advantage of a little bit longer time in Jerusalem, and yet they had an appointed place where they would meet. Jesus was 12. So he was right in the midst of younger or older. And it's assumed that that Joseph would have thought that Mary went with, or Jesus went with Mary, and Mary assumed that Joseph would come, or Jesus would come with Joseph. And so they didn't recognize that he wasn't with either until they got at the designated location to find out that Jesus wasn't amongst them. And so they hurried back to Jerusalem. And they searched for him. In fact, it's told, we're told that they searched for 3 days before they found him in the temple as he was asking questions and even answering questions and listening to the things that were happening. And I don't know if there's any other place in Scripture where we get that hint of Mary taking a strip off Jesus. But it is suggested here. When Mary comes up to Jesus and said, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." I expect that Luke was very gracious in his recording of that. And that might be a bit of an understatement if we were looking for a lost child for 3 days and that was our response. And you can appreciate, too, that Mary and Joseph would have crossed their minds that this is not only their firstborn, but this is the promised Messiah. And we've lost him. and so when they found him, they were in great relief. And Jesus responded, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And this event concludes with these verses. "And they did not understand the sayings that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart." This again was a time where Mary just kind of logged in with what was going on. And even though she did not understand it, she took special note of it as she witnessed what was going on. Most mothers' hearts are like storehouses, treasuring variety of things that happen what's happened in their family. She takes note of things that many of us miss. She remembers things that we as fathers tend to forget. We seldom hear stories of mothers forgetting birthdays and anniversaries, and yet that seems to be the joke to men. In fact, I don't know if you have noted or not, but usually if I get an opportunity in the early part of February, I will remind you of Valentine's Day, and that social announcement is not for the ladies. Because we tend to just not get too focused on stuff, though the media continues to help us in many ways to do that. This past week, I was in the North Lambton Lodge in a spiritual care meeting, and during that time, we were talking about when they'll next have the memorial service for those who had passed, and asked me if I would be willing to take responsibility for that. And then they gave me 3 dates. And I knew the first 2 dates were out, but the third date, I thought, I think that I could do that. Although I knew that that date was something important, but it didn't come to mind right away what it was, and it was nothing in my date book. And so that's where my mind stayed for a few minutes. What is that date? And then I remembered it is an important date in our family. It's our daughter's birthday. But it's nothing that was going to interfere with a memorial service. And I got thinking, you know, that Sue would know that right off the bat. And I had to ponder what that date was. because I knew it was important, but I didn't know what it was. But so we're just wired. In fact, men, we take advantage of our wives so often that way, and that we know that they will cover for us in all these birthdays and anniversaries and special events. And so we don't have to use up gray matter to recall that stuff, because they will, and they do. Mothers are very observant in everything that happens to their families, rejoicing with the achievements and rejoicing over indications of growing maturity in their children, and grieving when there's acts of foolishness and unwise behavior. And it's not that we as fathers don't see that, or that it doesn't affect us in any way. It does, but it maybe more frustrates us than anything else. Proverbs 10 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother." And further along in Proverbs 25, "The rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." And it's interesting to note that Solomon brings these things out and focusing on the heartache of moms when their children disappoint them. Mothers don't suppress this sensitivity. It's God-given. Yes, it may react in some frustration, added frustration on your part, that mothers feel and respond to things much more quickly than fathers. But it's good to work these things out. And husbands, cash in on your wife's sensitivity, not just in that relationship, but your wife's sensitivity in all areas of life. I know that there is many occasions which I would have missed an opportunity had I not been sensitive to Sue's sensitivity and guidance as to maybe I ought to respond to that, which she saw and I totally missed. And so there's good things. I know for the ladies, you're being more sensitive, your heart can be grieved more. But men, we would be wise to pay attention to that. And so one of the ways that we ought to honor our mothers is because of their sensitive spirits. Honor our mothers also because of their sincere faith. And I can appreciate that everybody here may not have been raised in a Christian home. And I recognize that. But if you have, be so grateful for that. You may have heard many times that it's the father's or the husband's responsibility to lead the family in spiritual things. And we do get that from Scripture. As men, we are called and expected to lead spiritually in our homes, as well as lead in other ways as well. One of the examples of that is in Joshua. And as the nation was being, it had taken possession of the promised land, and the land was being distributed amongst the various tribes for settlement and for for development. And Joshua, in one of the final times that the nation was together, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your sight to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so Joshua was making a very clear stand before the nation that he was going to lead his family in the ways of following the Lord. Paul, in writing to to Ephesus, to the believers in Ephesus, communicates this: Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so Paul also gives that emphasis, that responsibility to the fathers, to the husbands. But that doesn't remove all opportunities of instruction from the wives, from the moms. We have been given a responsibility to raise those children in the way of the Lord. And Proverbs 1, verse 8, Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And so Solomon gives that instruction that there is opportunity, in fact, that there is wise counsel in the moms and the wives supporting and instructing and teaching. Also, that is mentioned again three or five chapters later in chapter 6. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. So we see that we are not to forsake the teachings of our parents. Yet, let me give a qualifying note here, that if the teaching that we receive goes contrary to Scripture, we are to obey God rather than men. But even in saying that, recognize that the counsel that our parents are giving is because they love us and they want the best for us. And so be wise in those kind of situations. Parents have a tremendous responsibility entrusted to them to give instruction. And let me share two illustrations of that. And one of them is in 2 Chronicles 22. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Uzziah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the band of men had come with the Arabians to the camp to kill all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jeroboam, king of Judah, reigned. And he was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the way of the house of Ahab, and his mother was his counselor in doing wickedness. So he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after the death of his father, they were his counselors in his undoing. And so these wicked counselors, which were family, counseled him poorly in leading in wicked ways. And yet, in contrast, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So here we see two examples of parents and pointedly of moms and their tremendous influence that they had on their children, on their sons that were entrusted with responsibility and leadership. One was for evil, one was for good. Take this responsibility, don't take this responsibility lightly. We are God's part of his plan to teach, to teach our children to be faithful. And if we do so, our offspring will honor you. Proverbs 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so, significant instruction as to how we are to live in our world. Let us honor mothers for their servant's heart. We've looked at their sensitive spirit and their sincere faith. Now for their servant's heart. And I expect it's probably so across the board that we've all taken advantage of our mothers or our wives because of their servant's heart and how they so graciously give of their effort and their time to minister and to serve us. And on this Mother's Day, it is a good day to say thank you. I came across this from one of the Focus of the Family publications. And the question is, what in the world do moms do all day? And this came out as a summary. A baby feeder, changer, bather, rocker, burper, hugger, and listening, and listener to a cry and fussing of and thousands of questions. Picker-upper of food and debris cast on the floor, a comforter, encourager, counselor, linguistic expert of two-year-old dialect, listener to husbands and children talk about their day, their needs, their concerns, their aspirations, teacher in everything from how to chew food to drive a car, assistant on school projects, sensor on TV, movies, books, and computers, reader of thousands of children's books, planner and host to children's birthday parties and adult dinner parties, central control for getting the appliances fixed and the carpenter or the carpet shampooed, executor of ants, roaches, wasps, and other pests, resident historian in charge of the family photo album, baby books, and school records, resident encyclopedian resource for all those hard questions, defroster of the freezer, keeper and locator of birth certificates and other valuable documents, appointment desk for the family's visits to the doctor, dentist, mechanic, and school teachers' meetings, a prayer, cleaner of the oven, the drawers, the closets, the curtains, the windows, the walls, even sometimes the garage. Ladies, be careful on that one. Personal note. Furniture, emergency medical technician, and sometimes ambulance driver. Clips 10 fingernails and toenails on every child, locates and returns library books, chooses gifts, purchases gifts, wrapped gifts for birthdays, Christmas, Father's Day, Mother's Day, weddings, showers, and anniversary, often mailing them as well, drops off and picks up dry cleaning, attends recitals and school concerts, attends every school and community sporting event imaginable, chauffeurs everyone everywhere, combs little girls' hair, helps the classroom, amends or attends parent advisory council meetings concerning school, chaperones field trips and special events, coordinates carpools, makes bank deposits and withdraw, delivers forgotten lunches, forgotten homework, forgotten athletic gear, helps teach Sunday school class, and takes their turn in the nursery, and this does not include the domestic duties such as dinners and dishes and dirty clothes. What does the scripture say of such a woman? Her worth is far above jewels. Sometimes we just kind of forget, and it's good to be reminded. Sydney Harris was quoted in saying, "The commonest fallacy among women is that simply having children makes one a mother, which is as absurd as believing having a piano makes one a musician." Mothers who have qualities like the ones that we have looked at this evening, a sensitive heart, a sincere faith, a servant's heart, are worth great honor. And we should demonstrate that. And as we honor them, expressing our genuine appreciation, this is not only encourages them, but it is in keeping with the commands of the Lord. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And what is the promise? That your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We are richly blessed. I'm delighted that in our culture we have such days as Father's Day and Mother's Day and Thanksgiving, days set apart where we can do unashamedly what God has commanded us to do. And so let us take advantage of that and do it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our mothers, for their faithfulness, for their servant's heart, for their sensitivity. Lord God, we thank you for that as we reflect upon the role that they have played, that we would not neglect the opportunity to communicate our deep appreciation to them and how significant that it has been to us. Lord God, we pray that we might be good examples to those who are watching and to those to whom we have opportunity to minister, to encourage, to be a blessing. Lord, thank you that it is in your design, in your plan, that we grow together. And thank you for this body called the church and how we can be a blessing to one another as well, how we can enjoy the fellowship and the serving together and the fellowshipping together, indeed the worshiping together of you. And so, Lord God, we pray that you might continue to pour your blessing upon us as a body, that we might be an encouragement one to another, an encouragement to those in our community. Lord God, may we be in all things serving you with a heartfelt appreciation and gratitude for your counsel to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.